Thanks so much, Maharaj.
Very, very nice. I'm very happy to see all of you in... I recognize the son of Manasiganga. Is that true, Madhava? Is it you? Yes, good.
Yes,
wonderful. Welcome, 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 welcome. And there is Aravind is there. Oh, Toshan is there. Shrushti. Wow. Srivatsa. Syamsunda. Thomas, Antoni, Bharat Sharma. Avantika Sharma, wonderful. Gorangi, Vrinda, so many of you. Shrof Puja is there. Led, Himangi, Chintar, Pralat, wow, Keshav, Rashi, Raj, Jiga, Adit, Bhatt, my God. Bhagavan is also with us. Wow. It's all right. If we go through all the ecstatic persons, we will spend a long time here. You have all requested me to do a mini japa workshop. Perhaps you know that since maybe 20 years now, I'm holding retreats all over the world, and I'm also going on my own personal retreat each year to Vrindavan Dham, where I do nothing than chant from early in the morning to late into the night, nothing else. And I see the chanting at that time to be like a portal which opens and ushers me into a total new space where I meet Krishna in an entirely new way. But I do know that japa is not easy for most of us. And I also go through times where I feel my practice is a little dry maybe. It is not fully nourishing. And today I would very much like to give suggestions how you can have a practice that is entirely enlivening, that is nourishing, and whereby which you feel the taste which is necessary to go through chanting. I must say, I think some of you know, we have each January, at the end of January, the Radha Desh Mellows. And for this Radha Desh Mellows, kirtaniyas from all over the world come, and also devotees from all over the world. But the special feature of this kirtan event is that mostly the youth attends, people who are your age or Madhava's age, who are still young and who mostly have the experience that they appreciate kirtan, they appreciate to be around with devotees, but japa is, for most of them, I would say, a tiresome practice, which they have a very distant relationship to. So last kirtan, or Radha Desh Mellows, I met a typical person whose parents had been in Krishna consciousness. I think that he was even born in Krishna consciousness. But during the time of his spiritual life, he could not really develop any taste, at least the taste which the world had to offer him, movies, parties, dancing, you know, going out with people, was so much more stronger than the taste he experienced in Krishna consciousness. So this person, I wrote down what he said. He said he had given up the practice of japa. Sometimes he would still come to kirtan events, especially where youth were assembling. He could not imagine his life for the rest of the life in Krishna consciousness. But he was not satisfied with this. He had come to the temple and then gone again. And he asked me, Maharaj, what should I do? And I told him, it's time that you find your heart again. He said, what do you mean? I have not lost my heart. It's pumping, boom, 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 boom. What do you mean with finding your lost heart? And I told him something which I tell a lot of young people. I say, we have three hearts altogether. Just one heart. The first heart, I'm trying to paint this here, but I don't know, my painting is so bad that it wouldn't, I don't dare to show it to you. The first heart is the physical heart. It's the organ which pumps blood through our body. I heard it beats 70,000 times a day and flushes a few thousand liters of blood through the body each day. That is the physical heart, the first heart. The second heart is the emotional heart. It's where the feelings for friendship reside, where the feelings for family reside, where feelings like happiness, love, and inner peace reside. It's that heart, the emotional heart, Yash, where we experience loss and gain, pain and love. It's the emotional heart. In Italy, when someone says, I have fallen in love, he will go like this. Oh, amore, amore, amore. He will not go, I have fallen in love like this. He will point here to his emotional heart. This is the second heart. First heart, physical heart. Second heart, the emotional heart. But my dear listeners, the most important heart is the third heart. It's the spiritual heart. It's where you have feelings like devotion, surrender to the Lord. The spiritual heart is the heart which you had before you came into this world. It's your eternal heart. It's the place where the Upanishads talk about, where the soul resides, and the super soul as well. That heart, that spiritual heart, many of us have lost. And when I told that devotee who had this in and out experience, sometimes he was with the devotees during kirtan events, and then he left and led an entirely different life, that heart was lost. When I told that devotee in Radhadesh, Prabhu, you have to discover or find your lost heart again. Then I meant that heart in which our relationship to Krishna is there. Often we think in this world of so many other relationships, relationships to our friends, relationships to family, relationships to our students, peer students in the university. But little time do we find to think about our spiritual heart, the heart in which we think of our relationship with Krishna. All of us have this relationship since eternal time because we are created by Him and we are parts of Him. When we approach the practice of japa, and this is now very important, I will soon give you a practical workshop, but we first need to understand this. It's all about entering into this spiritual heart. It's all about recovering that lost heart. In Germany, we have a fairy tale or legend about the man who sold his heart to the devil and he got a marble heart instead. It was cold. That marble heart worked very much, very good on the physical platform. He was not expecting he was not experiencing any circulation problems. No. But because it was a cold stone, he had no emotions, good emotions for other people, and he had also lost his most important thing, his link, his connection with God, which takes place in that spiritual heart, that third heart. So how do we revive or find this spiritual heart? We must enter a devotional relationship with Krishna. That spiritual heart is built to experience this relationship. When you have mechanical practice of, for instance, japa or kirtan or doing arati or doing anything, you are doing it from the stone heart. You're doing it not from your spiritual heart. But if you have the same practice, japa, kirtan, and you do it with that devotion, with that longing, with that awareness, then it's really sweet, very nourishing, and absolutely cool. So this is a very, very important thing, to practice your japa from your spiritual heart. That means that this is your time, your very private time, your very intimate time with Krishna. I guess all of you have a friend, either a male friend or a female friend. Or, you know, if you are a man, you may aspire for a good relationship with a qualified young lady or girl. Or if you're a young lady and a young girl, you may aspire for a good relationship, a close relationship with a nice boy who can take care of you and be there as the best of friends. No? While we all look for friends in this world, let us not forget that behind this desire is an even deeper and bigger desire. That is, that we look for an intimate, or a better word would be close, relationship to Krishna. And in the time when you do japa, it should be that you are entering, during the japa, this close relationship with Krishna. Think, when a mother loves her child very much, the mother will always repeat the name. Oh, what is a good boy's name? Oh, Aravind. No, let us call him Padmalochan. Oh, Padmalochan. Oh, Padmalochanji. Oh, Padmalochan. When a lover likes a beloved person, he will always say the name of that person. He will address the person. He will think of the person regularly. So when a devotee chants, it should be with the same loving emotion. Oh, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. It should be done from the spiritual heart. The spiritual heart should be found and switched on. It should not be absent during japa. This is a little bit of what I think is the deciding difference between boring japa or mechanical japa and deeply nourishing, deeply inspiring japa. The deeply inspiring japa is done with taste, with a taste in that relationship. And the boring japa, the dutiful japa, the mechanical japa is done without that taste, without thinking about that relationship. When I told that person in Radhadesh, please, I can see that you are interested in the devotees, and I can see that you are struggling with sometimes being enthusiastic and sometimes being absolutely non-enthusiastic. When I said, you need to cure this, you need to find and revive your lost heart, your spiritual heart, he looked at me and said, thank you, Maharaj. That person is now regularly chanting japa. I just received a letter. I will not give you the name because he wanted this to be private, and he doesn't want the whole world to know how much he struggled with Krishna consciousness and how he was thinking of leaving it, but he couldn't do it because some attraction was there. And he said, you saved my spiritual life because you pointed out to me that there is the physical heart and the emotional heart, which I knew, but that there is behind all this my spiritual heart, in which I think of a relationship with Krishna. In the physical heart, it's all about the relationship with the body, pumping blood to all the cells of the body. In the second heart, the emotional heart, it is all about the emotions and other people, other situations maybe, which lie outside. And in the spiritual heart, it's all about that relationship which I already had before this birth and which I will have into eternity. It's the relationship with Krishna. So, could you follow me up till now? Please do a thumbs. Good, I understand. So, I want to now, after saying that Japa is a practice of a relationship, not just a mechanical fulfillment of counting, of the counting game. This japa is, you know, when you do it mechanically, it's a little bit like the children who have these counting games. 1, 2, 3, 4. Tell me, child, how much is this? Oh, it is 3 plus 4 makes 7. This is not how to chant japa. We are not children who engage in counting games. And what we are is, what the japa chanter is he is someone who revives his spiritual heart and wakes up to his full human potential. Full human potential. So when you do want to do good japa, there are three things which you should bring to the practice. It's the three human endowments. Do you understand the English word endowment? Do I say it properly? It's what is given to you. An endowment is like a gift. Each human being has three human endowments. One is the body. The second is the mind, with which we can think, which we can expand to amazing proportions. And the third human endowment is our heart. And I'm speaking here of the spiritual heart, the heart in which we can feel and look for a relationship with Krishna. And as you chant, you should use all the three endowments. Like in any relationships, when only your body is there in a relationship, but your mind is somewhere else and you are using the little distraction monster. I think you all have one of these distraction monster. Click, 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 click. The distraction monster. Your friend will say, your body is here, but your mind, phoop, gone, is with the distraction monster. Or if you are in a relationship with a friend and you are not really there, the friend will say, Yash, your heart is not in this. What is wrong? This is not a relationship which is pleasing to both of us. You have to bring your heart to the relationship. No? This is the three things which we must use in japa also. Body, mind, and the heart. I would like to make a little workshop now with you. What do you do with the body? When you do japa, you sit straight. Because when you sit straight, your concentration is better. When you sit in a strong position, your thought is stronger. Do you remember the American boxer Muhammad Ali? He would come into the fighting ring dancing and saying, I'm the greatest. And he would say it with a good body posture. He would wave his hand like an ape. And the other, the opponent, would already feel, he has already won the fight. He has such a confident attitude. When you do japa, first start with your physical body posture. It will send a signal to your mind that this is the time for concentration. It will send a signal to your whole personality that, yes, I can do this. Yes, I can stay with it. Yes, I will do this practice with determination. Prabhupada would always say to us when we did japa, sit properly. I remember even once in Amsterdam, Srila Prabhupada was sitting on the Vyasasana, and my older brother, I have three brothers, my older brother is a devotee, and my younger brother is very open to Krishna consciousness, but my older brother is also a disciple of Srila Prabhupada. So at that time, he had just come to check Krishna consciousness out, and he was sitting doing the japa by, I don't know if I can do this for you, by having his knees a little bit like this. Let me come closer to, yes, like this, like this. He was sitting like this. And so Prabhupada, who was on the Vyasasana, took his legs up and he said, don't sit like this, sit properly. So, because the sitting posture will greatly influence your mind, what you think, your attitude, your determination, your orientation. And it's the first human endowment, the body. What do you do when you want to have good japa? You sit properly, and then you use your vocal machine, vocal cords, tongue, and lips to pronounce the mantra really good. The third thing which you use from the human and from the body is your ears, who will hear the sound vibration of the holy name. I would like you all now to chant with me, but I do not know, maybe our good host Yash can inform us. I think there's a time delay, isn't it, if I speak, or?
It's actually okay for me at least, because just from the video and the sound, they're matching up perfectly.
Oh, good. Then, and you are in Canada, isn't it, Yash?
I'm actually in USA. I'm in Chicago.
Good. That's good enough in terms of the distance. Okay, so every one of you, we will do three things now. We will sit properly, means straight. Even if you sit on a chair, it doesn't matter as long as the spine is tall and erect and not bent over like this. The next thing is we will pronounce with our lips and use our vocal cords. And the third is we will listen attentively to the holy name. I will one time chant alone, and then we will chant all together. Please keep on unmuting yourself, because otherwise there will be a mix-up. One time chant alone, Krishna, the Ragini would be nice. You can put it on C. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, everybody. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. It's very important as we continue to chant in a short time. Actually, I can use this. Please be mindful to keep the body straight, to pronounce the mantra clearly and distinctively, and to also hear the sound vibration. You will see when you put the body to work, sit straight, pronounce properly, listen, a shift of consciousness can happen where you are more concentrated. Although the shift of consciousness we are looking for will happen in the second exercise, which I will introduce right after this. But for now, to prepare yourself for an amazing experience in japa, I request you to sit tall, to pronounce the mantra distinctly, and to listen with concentration and attention. Everybody, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Continue. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you so much. As far as the first exercise was concerned, we understood that we have three human endowments. And if we throw them, or use them, or put them to work in this relationship with Krishna, oh, a very, very good spiritual relationship happens, and there will be a divine reciprocation, an answer to our call. This was the first endowment. Now we will go to the mind. I think you all agree with me that if the mind is not with what you are doing, it becomes a drag. It becomes very tiresome, very dry, and so on. At the same time, we all know that the biggest challenge when we do japa is to fight with a distracted mind. So in the challenge, the biggest opportunity always lies. Whenever you run away from a challenge in your life, my dear listeners, you will fail a test. But whenever you take on a challenge, face it, go right through it, you grow tremendously. So In the second exercise, we will take on our biggest challenge, distraction, a distracted mind. And the easiest way to bind the mind so that it's concentrated and it's with you, the easiest way in which you can be present-minded and not absent-minded is when you again and again bring the mind back to the mantra. I would like to give you an analogy which I think I must have given already on one of the Zoom calls. Do you all know what a falcon is? A bird which was used in countries like Persia, Arabia, for hunting purposes. The falcon would alight into the sky, fly up. He would look around in the desert from up, and he would spot a deer or antelope, and in this way he was useful for the emperors. Now the falcons needed to be trained to return to their master. If they would fly in the sky and then disappear, go somewhere else, they would be of little use. So the way to train a falcon is the same way in which you have to train the mind. The mind can also go very far and do many things for you. It can explore many possibilities. But if it doesn't return back to you, you will remain what some of my God brothers from the hippie background would call spaced out. You would be spaced out, absent-minded. So how can you train the mind in japa to be present-minded? This is the whole idea. So listen to this. When you have a falcon in training, you would bind it by the foot with a string to a perch. And in the beginning, the falcon will flutter and fly everywhere, here and there, quite erratically. But then, after some time, the falcon would get it and he would sit and settle is the better word, settle on the perch. So when you do japa, you have a mind in training who is not yet cooperative, who is quite distracted, like that falcon. Like the falcon, the mind will fly here and there and everywhere. It will go everywhere, it will want to check your WhatsApp, it will want to think about something, it will panic about something, it will be stressed about something else. It's like the falcon who flutters everywhere and is really restless. But if you bind the mind to the mantra by listening again and again to the mantra, finally the mind, the fluttering bird, will settle on the Maha Mantra and remain on the Maha Mantra, and you will feel a peace that expands throughout your whole mind, your consciousness, your heart, and ultimately through your life. The mind which can settle on the Maha Mantra by listening is a peaceful mind. The mind which flutters around and does not settle is a troublemaker, an instant troublemaker. So what I would like to do in the second exercise with all of you is I would like you to take the lessons of the first exercise. Please sit properly. I'm seeing you. Yes, Aravind, now you're sitting very good. Thank you. Madhav, I can't see you sitting. Brinda, very good, you're sitting. Yash, excellent, like a yogi. We will pronounce the Maha Mantra and we will listen to the mantra. And now, yes, there you are, Madhav. And now we will try to bind the mind by listening to the Maha Mantra, and it will be with us. Whenever your mind flutters away, goes somewhere else, just return it to the mantra. And I would suggest, because it's sometimes difficult to focus the mind for an entire mantra on each singular name, I would suggest let us just always focus it on the first Hari. So when you chant, you will go through the entire Maha Mantra. Krishna. You know, through the entire mantra. Then you have finished one mantra and then you will jump back with your full attention to the first Hari. We have even a better one. Thank you very much. We have this. Let me see. Can you see it in the right order, Yash? Can everyone? Good, good. It's not, because on my screen it is like, turned around. But you can see it. So you go Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. And then Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, excuse me. And then full concentration on the first Hare. Yeah? So I will do, let's see. You can all do it together. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Everybody, Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Full concentration here. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Good, good. When you want to use your second human endowment to make this a real potent relationship, you have to learn two things. One thing is to be absolutely there in the present. In the present moment, you are chanting and you are focus is there in the present moment. You don't think about what happened in the past, nor do you think about future plans which you wish to make. You're absolutely there in what is going on right now. This would be a really mindful chanting, no? Mindful chanting. The second thing which you do when you chant with your mind is to always be willing to bring the mind back to wherever it wanders. Our mind is very much like a little curious dog. I remember I have a friend who used to keep a dog. The dog has died and he has not purchased a second dog. And sometimes when I visited him, there was the need to bring the dog, to walk the dog, I think you say. You know, when you walk a dog, it will remain healthy and it also will, the digestion works better, and then the dog will go to the, you know, in nature and how do you know this? How do you say this? It will make the dog pile, you know, it will evacuate, it will evacuate. So my friend and me, he is a professor and we like to discuss. And so we would walk, the dog would be there, and we would walk through the forest and then over a field, and then the dog would spot in the distance some hare. Is it called a hare? A rabbit. Or a deer, and the dog would start to run after the deer or rabbit. And we would have to bring the dog back somehow or other. We learned, my friend bought one of these extendable lines, a long line, because once the dog actually, I think, got lost. It tried to chase a rabbit, but the rabbit outchased him, fortunately, and the dog got lost. And we had to take care of the dog. It's after all a family member. So we had to spend 1 hour time looking for the poor thing. So our mind is very much like that dog. It goes with us for some time, but then it spots in the distance, woohoo, a memory, an attractive thing. And attractive thought which it starts to chase. And if you don't bring the mind back, you can be in trouble. You can be absent-minded, or the mind can fall prey to lusty emotions, or angry emotions, or anything. So when you want to chant on the second level, the first was the physical level, where you just sit and pronounce and speak and count properly. You want to chant a little deeper. You have to learn to bring back the mind wherever it goes due to its restless nature. You absolutely have to learn that. So that is easiest done if you, while chanting, you return your attention to the mantra. Remember the falcon who is fluttering but who finally settles on the perch and comes to peace. In the same way, the mind may be fluttering, but when you can focus it on the mantra, it settles and becomes peaceful. That's what you do with the mind. The last is something I would like to teach you by means of an exercise. I request you all to sit tall again. Yes, very good. Those I can see are like yogis. Thank you. Excellent. Now, I will request you to do a few deep breaths. Deep in and exhalations. When you breathe in, fill first the belly area, then the lungs. Good oxygen. And whenever you breathe out, empty your lungs and empty your stomach of all the air, or the belly area of all the air. Now, I request you to close your eyes if you have not already done this, and invoke in your vision, inner vision, a picture of Krishna. Maybe the deity in the nearby temple. Maybe one of the beautiful pictures which you have put up in your own room. Maybe another favorite image of Krishna. Wow, just now my image came. I have an image of Krishna playing the flute. Whenever in distracting thoughts comes up, then just let it go. Try to think of Krishna. While gazing at Krishna, I will recite a verse, a beautiful verse. Mm, Krishna Toma Hanayadi Bale Kabar Maya Bande Aite Krishna Tare Karepa. My dear Lord Krishna, although I have forgotten you for so many long years in the material world, today I am surrendering unto you. I am your sincere and serious servant. Please engage me in your service. Enter the meaning of this verse. Krishna, I have really forgotten you. Even as a youth in Krishna consciousness, for so many long years in the material world. But today, it's different. I'm surrendering unto you. I'm your sincere and serious servant. Please engage me in your service. Let us all try to chant now together from this space. Remember to sit tall and remember to bring the mind back from wherever it goes due to its restless nature. And chant now together with me. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Five more. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you all very, very much. You were a brilliant audience. Amazing. Awesome. Let us just... I want to request you now to send any questions which you have into the chat room. We have about half an hour to try to answer as good as possible these questions. I suggest, because I'm not such a computer expert, that you send them to Yash, and Yash then can speak them to me, the questions, okay? So let me summarize in the meantime what I was saying in this first mini japa workshop which you got. I was saying chanting should be first and foremost something which is done from the spiritual heart. It should not be a dry mechanical process. It should be something that is done in with a sense of your relationship. So just like you bring yourself fully into a relationship, body, you have to be there with your friend. Mind, you have to think, be present-minded, not absent-minded. And heart, so you have to bring to your japa also the body, the mind and the heart. The body is brought by sitting straight, pronouncing the mantra, hearing the mantra. The mind is brought to the practice by bringing it back from wherever it runs, like that little dog, which we, of my friend, needed to be brought back, otherwise there would be trouble, and to be present-minded. And finally, the heart, the devotional heart, addresses something to Krishna. And I very much like this verse, which I have quoted. My dear Lord Krishna, although I have forgotten you for so many long years in the material world, today I am surrendering unto you. I am your sincere and serious servant. Please engage me in your service. What you can do is, you can find this verse, it is in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, if you wish to note this down, Madhya Leela, chapter 22, verse 33. No? CC, Madhya Leela 22, text or verse 33. Very, very good. Very, very good. So, I have something to say in concluding, some short things, but I want to now see if there's any question there. Yash, have we received a question already?
Yes, Maharaj, there's actually a lot of questions coming in. So first of all, I just wanted to thank you one more time for giving us that association and that interactive seminar. It's really powerful. I would like to request everyone, if you do have a question and you would like to ask Maharaj directly, just put it in the chat so I can see who wants to ask that question. And then you can feel free to unmute yourself. That's just so we don't have people talking over each other. But in the meantime, I will start with one question that came in, Raj. The question is, when we don't want to think of something, the mind thinks of it more. How can we focus that? And how can we stop that?
I think we all have this experience. No, don't think of that person, don't think of that person, don't think of that person, don't think of a person. And all you think of is that person, that person, that person. Or don't think of that pizza, don't think of, or even worse, don't think to look at that movie, don't think of that movie, don't think of this movie. But all you think is movie, 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 movie. It becomes stronger and stronger. Well, you must know bhakti is the third way. To think of something with the idea to enjoy it is the karma perspective. To look away from that thing, it is the jnana perspective. But the bhakti perspective, the perspective of Krishna consciousness, is neither to look at the thing with the sense of enjoying it, nor to try to look away from that thing, which is so distracting to you, but it is to think of Krishna, to think of chanting the holy names, to think of positive things, and if in that process a particular thing comes up, then you think, can I engage that in Krishna's service? Is that good for Krishna or not? Let us say, I'm a young person and somehow or other my mind is occupied with one person. Maybe with someone who is not friendly towards me, but who has hurt me. Or maybe a person I'm highly attracted to, whatever. To get rid of this thought is you have to think of another thing. The mind can only hold one thing at one time in the hand. Either it's this thought, by the way, my alarm clock, or it's the bebek. One thing alone it can hold comfortably. So the mind needs to think of, you need to engage the mind positively. You have to fill it like a glass so that there is no space any longer for any other thing to go in. But if the thought is consistent, ask yourself the question, can I engage that, utilize it, put it to good utilization in Krishna consciousness or in my goal of life or not? And if it is, if you can engage it in good ways, it's no longer a disturbance. Let us speak of the subject which young people are mostly concerned of, who are not yet married. There is, for the boys, there may be a woman who, and you think again and again of that woman. Or for the woman, for the ladies, there is a gentleman. You think again and again of that gentleman. You ask yourself the question, is that relationship good for my spiritual, for my development, my growth? And if it is, then you say, okay, let's put that on the parking place, but for now I'm chanting and let me return to that later, like you return to a car that waits on the parking place. My main answer is, don't think of fighting the mind and saying, no pizza. Think of something else, Krishna. And your mind will be filled with this, or it will hold on to this. And the other thought will slowly lose in intensity Do you know that any thought which you do not pursue loses after a period of 10 minutes its intense intensity and then disappears? Whoop. Like, anyways, no need to give examples here. Good. Any other question?
Thank you much. Yeah, there's actually a lot of questions coming in. I see about 30 in front of me right now.
Really?
Yeah, we're really excited about this.
So we have to... Yes, so I have to talk a little bit... I will now talk very concentrated. Yash, you also have to be really concentrated so that we get this pile of questions down.
Sure, Raj, thank you. I would like to let Radish ask a question. I know he has his hand raised. So Radish, if you want to unmute yourself and ask a question, that'd be great.
Yes. Hi, Krishna Maharaj. My question is that for people who are, you know, trying to get more serious about their japa, you know, what are some practical, I guess, items or things that someone should do to really, like, get them in the right area to focus for their japa and start to build on that practice?
Thank you very much, Radish. I want to suggest to you a simple formula. You may want to write this down. The formula of the three P's. The first P stands for philosophy. The second stands for people. The third P stands for practice. So if you want to increase anything, but here in specific the japa, you need to understand a little bit more about the holy name. You need to read some related books or listen to lectures, which you will be able to find online, or you anything which you do. I have written a book which is all about this. It's called The Living Name, A Guide to Chanting with Absorption. It's a very practice-oriented book where you also learn the philosophy, but also how to do it practically. It's a practice-oriented, experience-oriented book. The second P is people. Be with people who have the same desire as you to increase their japa, or who are serious about japa. If you stay together with the japa criminals, I'm saying it jokingly, but people who either don't chant, or worse even, who chant, but chant so bad, so distracted, that's even worse. Then you will not get the right motivation. We get motivation from people, usually. And finally, practice. There is nothing that helps you so much to develop a good habit as practice. Some say, you have to practice for a prolonged time to build a habit. And only by this will you be satisfied. So, the three P's. Thank you. Now, Yash, the next question, please.
Raj, I see. Ujjwal, you have a question. You can unmute yourself if you want.
Thank you. Hare Krishna Maharaj, Ujjwal Rasantas here. Maharaj, I had a question, building upon how Radish asked, like, you know, people who are trying to get serious in their chanting, it's usually recommended the best to wake up early in the morning and chant. So, us like being students and how like usually can be sleeping irregularly if you have to, if we like have a lot of homework and stuff to do. So how can we make it a point to wake up early in the morning and chant our rounds in a focused way and not like just trying to get the rounds done?
This is a very serious question. I thank you very much, Prabhu, for this question. It's not a very easy question. The easy answer would be the good rounds in the morning start in the evening before when you go to bed. The body and also the mind require a certain amount of sleep to function normally. And I have seen this japa practice where you're just fighting with sleep is really not very conducive. It's a torture to do it, and also there is no taste in it. Now, I remember Prabhupada would send devotees who would be very tired when they did japa to go to sleep. He was very realistic about it. So if you want to get up early in the morning, you have to go to bed earlier in the evening. Now, if this is not possible, and if you're a student who is active the whole day, and then finally you come home and you need a little time to unwind, and you can't just go to bed, you're too wound up, and you won't sleep anyways, then my suggestion is chant as many rounds as are possible in the morning. Prabhupada, when he was a householder, he chanted 4 rounds before breakfast, 4 rounds before lunch, and 4 rounds before dinner, and then 4 rounds before going to bed. In this way, he completed 16 rounds. If that is not possible for some reason or another, I want to encourage you to better start with a number that is manageable for you. Let us say 2 good rounds. Chant that regularly, making time for it, planning the time for it, and you will see that you get a taste and you want to chant more. I chant most of the days more than 16 rounds because I like to chant. It's not that it's a drudgery. So these are my practical and realistical answers. The first is go to bed earlier. If that is not possible, divide your rounds. For instance, in the way that Prabhupada did as a grihastha, 4 breakfast, etc. Or the last is, which obviously I don't feel so comfortable with, but we have to be realistic. This is a real thing. It's not an artificial thing, Krishna consciousness. Then chant the rounds which are manageable for you, the amount of rounds that is manageable. Chant them nicely, deeply, and that way you will hopefully get some taste. I mean, not hopefully, you will get some taste, and then you can expand the number. Thank you very much. Josh, what is the next question?
Hari, you have a question.
Yes, Hare Krishna Maharaj. Thank you for the workshop. It was really eye-opening. So while I was doing the workshop, I realized that it was very mentally exhausting to stay, even just for 10 mantras, staying so concentrated and putting everything together. What would you have for advice for keeping that concentration up for the whole chanting process without getting out of touch?
You have to strengthen your mind. The mind is almost in some ways like a muscle. When you do, how many push-ups can you do? Maybe you do 9.5 and then you are dead. I don't know. If you want to do more push-ups and not be so exhausted, you will have to train a little bit. I am up to my 14th push-up. I will check this after this thing. And when I started this practice, oh, with push-ups, 4.5, or maximum 4.75 of a push-up, but not more. Now I'm up, and I will climb more up as I keep with the practice. In the same way with this concentration. Yes, you are exhausted because the mind is, for spiritual activities, weak. It may be very strong for material activities. You may be an excellent student, and you may be able to grasp many complicated subjects, but spiritually it is weak, and therefore you have to train it by practice. There's no other way. You may also have to increase your faith in the practice. Someone who is faithful in the practice has usually more strength than someone whose faith is still just beginning to grow. So, therefore, I recommend it to one of you, read the philosophy so that you understand everything properly, how the mind works, how the mantra works on the mind, and so many subjects are there. Thank you. Yes?
Thank you, Maharaj. I'm going to go to the forum now just for a little bit. So someone asked a question, how do we invoke that love for Krishna if we feel our heart is barren of it? I don't even feel like I have a spiritual heart.
In all of our hearts, there's love in a potential form. Potential means there's a possibility that it can come out. And it will come out as you engage more with the person. Let me tell you about a very, very moving experience which people of Europe have. The people of Europe have seen two ghastly wars in recent history. It means 19 and so on. Before that, there were also wars. The 30 year, one war, just imagine, lasted 30 years. So, but I'm only now considering the second and the first. It was even a world war, different countries involved themselves. And it happened quite often, actually, that families became separated from each other, especially in the area of Romania. You all have heard about Romania. When you heard about the legend of Count Dracula. So in Romania, somehow children were taken from their parents and brought to Germany, for instance. Very cruel. And then, after the World War, the respective governments made a concerted mutual effort to bring the families again together. Now imagine the following scene. There is a boy who got taken away from his parents who lived in a Romanian village and brought to Frankfurt, Germany. He has grown up by now. He is a bank director, but he is hearing it is now possible there's some government agency which can tell him from where his biological father and mother live in Romania, from where he was kidnapped. He goes to that government agency, he gets the address, and he goes in the summer holidays from Frankfurt in Germany to that little village in Romania. Now imagine, he stands before the door of his house. He does not really remember or recognize the house because he was so young when he was taken away. But something in him starts to stir. He knocks on the door, boom, 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 no response. Boom, 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 no response. Boom, boom, boom. Then he hears very old, hears the sound of someone stepping with great effort to the door. He hears the sound of a key turning in the lock. The door opens and he sees an old man. And something in his heart tells him, "Father!" And he runs to the old man. The old man looks at this person, well-dressed person. He at the beginning thinks, is this a bad joke? But then he recognizes, "Oh, son!" And they embrace and they cry. Because in everyone, even though they are separated from each other since a long distance, if there is an actual relationship, inside the heart is something, some memory. It's in the genetic codex, if you so want, or in one of the heart cells. They recognize each other. I have seen this, my dear devotees. As you know, one of my main services has always been to be a traveling preacher. And I meet totally new people, really totally new people. Yesterday I met a totally new person. We did a home visit and a home kirtan yesterday in Berlin. And the person, just imagine, when chanting, starts to all of a sudden cry. A totally new person. Because somewhere deep, deep down inside, there is a memory that is activated and which comes. So if you don't feel anything for Krishna, it is understandable because, yes, we have been separated for some time. Surround yourself with Krishna. Pictures. Maybe you want to go, now it's not so easily possible, but later to the Holy Dham where the Lord lives. I've seen many people making amazing experiences in Vrindavan Dham. Maybe you wish to start something. I know someone who started to do a little puja, to a picture of Lord Krishna, and now very, very inspired in Krishna consciousness. You need to engage with Krishna. If that man in Frankfurt, who was separated from his father and mother, would only stay in Frankfurt, probably nothing would happen. But because he made that journey and went to that little village in Romania, and he saw his father, it came out, the love came out like lava that breaks forth from a volcano. So just surround yourself with Krishna, read, What I do every day and what I strongly recommend is I read every day about Krishna from the Bhagavatam, and I read also about personal things about Krishna. At the moment I read Gopal Champu, where the pastimes of Krishna are described, and like this I'm engaging my mind with Krishna, and as I do it I develop something for Krishna. But if I wouldn't do it, the heart would remain cold like a stone. Every one of us has a spiritual heart. I said it's a lost heart, but it's not, you didn't lose it in Toronto and never got it back. No, it's lost, it's somehow inside of you, but it's lost there. Yes, this is a fact. I thank you. Yash?
Thank you, Maharaj. This one I'll read is a little bit long, but there's a quote, so I'll read it out. In an interview, Srila Prabhupada mentioned, as long as you have faith in God, devotion to God, everything is all right. After all, God is one. God is neither Hindu, nor Christian, nor Muslim. God is one. So the question is, if someone from another religion or faith practices japa and chooses a form that is most dear to them from their own respective faith, will they achieve the same results as someone who centers their chanting on the form of Lord Krishna?
They will not receive the exact same result. They will not receive love for Krishna, but they will receive, if they are sincere, the principal result, that is love for God. But Krishna is a very specific manifestation of God. He is the embodiment of loving relationships. He is very playful. He likes to reciprocate with his devotees. He's known like this. And he is very playful. In Germany, we have a philosopher who has died long ago. His name is Friedrich Nietzsche. Have you heard this name, Friedrich Nietzsche? He said, I would believe in a God who would know how to dance. He would have been a good Krishna Bhakta. whoever asked the question, a sincere follower of a bona fide spiritual path will also get love of God. There is a very nice poem I would like to recite to you. It goes like this. God has shared so much of his innermost core with me that I cannot call myself any longer a Christian, a Hindu, a Buddhist, or a Jew. He has given me so much of his love that it has completely burnt to ashes all the concepts and images which I ever had of him. Prabhupada also used to say, our job is not to make Christians into Hindus or Hindus into Muslims or anything like that. Our purpose is to teach them love of God. The way they, and he encouraged, if you are Christian, stay in that Christian religion, develop love for him. I think anyone who would try that, to follow that advice, that is my experience, they would become very open-minded. They would give up sectarian feelings, and they would most properly also investigate the Vaishnavism and Krishna consciousness, and they would see maybe that they that there is so much more detailed knowledge. I have a female disciple who was going to become a nun in a Christian monastery. Her name is Damodar Priya. Gokrishna knows. And a very pious person. She understood on her own that she should also give up meat eating, which many Christians do not understand on their own. So she met devotees. I think she obtained one of Srila Prabhupada's books. As far as I remember, the Bhagavad Gita even, on the in the streets of Zurich. She's from Zurich or near Zurich, Switzerland. And she understood when she read the book, there is a lot of further knowledge. Let me find out a little bit more. And she read more books, I think Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. That was one book. And then she thought, wow, I can follow my calling and develop a relationship to Krishna much better in the Movement for Krishna Consciousness, because of the more extensive knowledge and the more clear practice which is given. You know, Sadhu Sangha, Bhagavad, you read the Bhagavatam, chant the holy names, visit the holy dhams and worship deities. You know, there's a whole, so much is there. But even if someone remains a practicing Christian, they will develop a love of Krishna, love of God the way they understand Him. Mm. But if you develop Krishna consciousness, you will obviously go in the direction of Krishna, who spoke the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna 5,000 years ago, and you will think that you will take that book as your fundament and so on. So it will be in detail different, in principle it will be similar. Good. Next question, please.
Thank you very much. I'm going to sum up a couple questions here. I saw this question come up a couple times. A lot of the youth are really attached to doing kirtan and really like to have that kirtan atmosphere. But when it comes to japa, they feel a lot more disconnected and they don't feel like they should connect to that as more. Is that okay? And how can they make up for that? Or how can they go about to try to mend that together?
First of all, wonderful. If you are attracted to kirtan, very, very wonderful. And please know, please take encouragement. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is known as giving Sankirtan, most emphasis on Sankirtan. Chetodapana Majanam, that shloka, Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. So, not Sri Krishna Japanam, no. Kirtan is very much stressed in the Gaudiya Vaishnavism. You might, and there is a reason. The reason is, when you do japa, to do good japa, you need a somewhat undisturbed mind. But you can go in kirtan with a disturbed mind. By the sound vibration of kirtan, the mind will get purified, and then slowly you can enter deeper and deeper into the holy name. So kirtan is the main thing in Kali Yuga. You can study that also in the Bhagavatam. I could tell you now many verses, but I want to come quickly to the point. then you might ask yourself the question, oh, good, good. Then why do we talk about japa? Maharaj, you could have given us a kirtan workshop. Why was a japa workshop given? Please listen carefully to the answer. And with your good intelligence, think about the answer also and reflect about it. See if you can also see it like this. Japa will assist you in doing deeper kirtan. Why? In japa, it's really you and Krishna. In kirtan, it's all the many nice people, or the rhythm, or the music, and then so-and-so kirtan star is singing, and so on. And there's this musical aspect, and I think every one of us likes the music. But not always Krishna is there. In japa, my dear listeners, you are forced to put Krishna into the picture, because if you don't do it like chanting in the relationship with Krishna, chanting for Krishna, being mindful of Krishna as you chant, or being mindful of his holy name, then you will lose it. It will be very difficult for you to continue. Kirtan is much easier. But if you train, as I suggested to this one devotee, your muscle, your spiritual muscle, like you train in your push-ups, you will learn to be more with Krishna. Not with the music, not with the so many nice people, not with the excitement of the event, not with the prasadam which is bound to happen afterwards. You will really, in japa, focus on Krishna and develop a more close relationship. And that again, my dear devotees, my dear listeners, it will help you to go deeper into your kirtan. And this was the perspective also of Aindra Prabhu, who would say like this, and therefore it was very, very good. Yes, now, my dear listeners, I see two participants raised their hands and everything. What should we do? We are now, we have now not only exhausted our time, we have gone 15 minutes above our time. I think we should do the last question, Yash, because I also have something else to do. And if there is a desire, we can again meet in the future, maybe with a kirtan workshop. So Yash will have to now find the last question, and if he doesn't find your question, you can crucify him. No, I'm joking. Don't crucify, we need him, he's a good man, we need him. Oh, don't become afraid, Josh.
Thank you, Raj. We'll take one last question. I'm sorry for everyone whose questions we didn't get to, but we'll go over what we'll do later. I did see Avantika's hand raised for a little while, so Avantika, if you want to unmute yourself, and you can ask your question.
Hey, Krishna Maharaj, thank you for the wonderful workshop. I had a question. Like, earlier you were mentioning how we should treat japa as our personal relationship with Krishna, but how can we do that the same way we would treat a regular relationship? Because oftentimes we don't feel Krishna's immediate reciprocation or response.
What a wonderful question. Thank you. And so succinctly put. We often don't feel Krishna's presence and response. I want to ask everyone, is that the case always? There's a beautiful statement. There was once a devotee of the Lord who asked him, "Where were you in my difficult time?" "I looked for you. I looked for a response. But there was nothing." And the Lord answered, "I was standing behind you, but you were looking in the front, to the left, to the right. I was right behind you, supporting you." I think we often look for Krishna at the wrong place, and therefore we find him, don't find him. We look for his reciprocation according to our expectations, but if he doesn't reciprocate or answer according to our expectations, we get irritated and we think, "Where were you? Krishna has always been with you. He has made arrangements that you were born in a family where it is possible to cultivate Krishna consciousness. He has given you inspirations in your heart to remain with Krishna consciousness all these years, although others of your friends might have gone other ways. You have stayed. Yes, you may not be Rupa Goswami or Draupadi and so on, not that advanced, but Krishna is kind to everyone. He doesn't expect perfection of his devotees. He thinks a sincere endeavor according to one's capability is good. You're together with the youth of Krishna consciousness, and there are so many arrangements for you. You don't suffer diseases. You have a positive outlook. You can do something in your life with your energy. I think these are all arrangements for Krishna. I have one devotee friend, His Holiness Kadamba Kanana Maharaj. I think some of you might know him. He said once, "I have stopped to look for the face of Krishna. I'm looking now for the hands, you know, the arrangements which he makes for me." And so many, I recognize so many. Now, often we have certain expectations, a certain understanding how Krishna should reciprocate with us. And we become disappointed when our expectations are not met. But if we adjust our expectations, we will see him behind every tree.
Thank you.
So I want to just say two important things for me. I would like to encourage you to think more of the close Krishna, not the distant Krishna. The Krishna who is sitting in your heart. The Krishna who is satisfied when you chant and when he sees you. If you always think of the highly complicated, philosophized Krishna, that may not be as good for your bhakti as thinking about Krishna is right with me and he is my well-wisher. He wants my best. I also would like to encourage you, if you sincerely want to improve your chanting, it's good to chant before you check your WhatsApp messages in the morning. That is, when you consciously interact first with Krishna, give him the first place of importance. And then afterwards, go to the never-ending flood of WhatsApp messages in your good mobile telephone. That may be very helpful as a thing. I have a wonderful assistant. Last year he didn't travel with me for the months of Kartik, so he didn't need to be always available because I don't carry a mobile telephone, but he carries one and is always in contact with the world. So then during this month of Kartik, he did mobile telephone fasting. For one month, he first informed everyone that I beg your permission, I will be unavailable from my mobile telephone. If there is something urgent, you can send me an email and I will check it occasionally. And he felt so much, he felt he had attained moksha or liberation just by putting his mobile telephone away for a month. So I don't think that's practical for all of us, or for all of you, because you have important things going on in your life where you need to be available and need to reach people. But try to see that in the morning you can first have a talk with God and then talk with the world, or a communication, voice message or chat message or typed message or and so on. It's something to try in the spirit of adventurous daring, to postpone your usage of the mobile telephone for later in the day. And something which I want to say to all of you who are maybe looking for an entry into japa, but who feel, oh, whenever you think of 16 rounds, you feel that the Himalaya mountains are coming down upon you. You think it's too much of a pressure. Then release yourself from this pressure and chant a number of rounds that is feasible for you. But try to make them good rounds, focused rounds, fully concentrated rounds, and so that you can obtain a taste. Those of you who would like to almost go in a japa school, I want to, no gentleman shows a book or a publication of himself, but I will make an exception here. This book called The Living Name, it's available in America, I know from whom, maybe Manoram. Manoram for sure, and Ram Govinda for sure, and in New Vrindavan there are many copies. It's really, it aims really at a feasible, doable, realistic access to chanting with taste. You may see it in your spare time for your own reading pleasure. Good. I will now stop. I thank you very, very much. It was a genuine joy. And Yash, I was very serious. If you will have, but this is a retreat, I understand, isn't it?
Yeah, this is our third day here.
Third day. Will you have the retreat you don't know. Maybe. No one knows how the world will develop. But if you have again a forum where you bring everyone together, I'm most excited to share my own joy and inspiration with the Holy Name to people like you. Most excited. Good.
Of course, Roger, we'd love to have you. Thank you so much once again for speaking with us. I know we went over the time we said, but we had so many wonderful questions, and thank you so much for answering them. A lot of people are saying thank you in the chat too.